Found on page 271 of the Bibles in the pews. It comes from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 19. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So, in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. The reading ends here.
The second reading is taken from the second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, beginning at verse 7, and it can be found on page 1195 in the Church Bibles. The second letter to Timothy, chapter 1. "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." This is the word of the Lord.
Seated. And let me pray before I share these words. May the words of my mouth and this opening up of your word be pleasing to you, O Lord. May you speak to us afresh tonight. Amen. And a quick recap. We're back in Timothy, and Paul is in prison, not this time under house arrest, but likely to be in a cell, dark and damp, and probably chained to the wall. He's not a young man, and he's very aware that he is close to death. But he's writing this letter to his dear friend Timothy, who he calls like a son. He sees him like a son. He loves him like a son. And this special relationship is likely to have come through him bringing Timothy to know Christ and walking with him. In these verses in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to remind us or freshly encourage Timothy that the gospel that is entrusted to him is to be taught with faith and love through the power of the Holy Spirit which lives in him. Timid Timothy. Labels can really stick, can't they? And he may have attributed that to himself, or perhaps others had labelled him with that name. Timothy, the timid one. Perhaps best not to put him forward, really. Not for anything. Not a particularly strong man. He was weak, as in he was physically weak. He was young, and he'd already experienced the struggles associated with not being able to sort out a church, the church in Corinth. A mission failed. Surely there must be someone better suited to the job for such as this. A huge job to follow in the steps of the mighty Paul. Surely Paul can find somebody far more powerful and stronger to hold and present, to pass on the gospel to others. Someone more eloquent, someone better positioned, someone with better contacts. Perhaps Timothy is thinking the same. How often do we dictate our futures by our past? Or have others done? I can't do that because I'm not good enough, able enough, eloquent enough, strong enough, and the list goes on. I can't. My parents always used to say to me there was no such word as can't, and I assured them there was. But Paul had clearly seen something in Timothy that he believed was worth nurturing. This is not a woolly letter of platitude. All will be well if you just go and do as you're asked. It's a letter clearly spelling out what Paul wants him to do, and that is going to be far from easy. In my many years of working with children, my passion was always for those that tend to be left unnoticed, those that either don't believe in themselves or have not been believed in. Those that behave are easy to leave quietly in the corner. They don't demand huge amounts of your time. But they're worth investing in. And it takes far more effort and hard work to draw these little tortoises out of their shells. However, when you saw these children find their giftings, whether it be art or sport or music, and they excelled in them, and despite their fear, you knew you were drawing out something that had been deep within them for some time, with encouragement and love and affirmation. Timidity is a lack of courage or confidence, we're told. What does it take for someone to gain courage, to gain confidence, to know maybe that somebody somewhere believes in them? Paul believed in the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him and in Timothy. He believed this young man that he had brought to faith and nurtured. He believed in him. Timothy was called to a holy life, we are told, a life of one called to God, to live as people of God, as his sons and daughters. That is for all who follow God. not just those with a specific ministry, which has a label for it, but for all. For Timothy, this was not because he could prove himself that he was the best at everything, or top of the class, the loudest or the strongest, but because of God's own purpose and grace. We are called to be God's children, to be in a relationship with him because of his purpose and grace. Paul was, he recalls, appointed a herald and a teacher, and with his time coming to an end and his life being taken from him, he is ensuring that the baton is to be passed on. Timothy needs to receive this baton, knowing that God has a purpose for him, and it's through his grace that has called him to live the holy life, and will be with him by the power of the Holy Spirit as he goes out to teach the news. It's not for him to stand receiving the baton trembling and almost dropping it, but to receive it with the confidence that comes from above, a confidence that comes from God. Letters are not often used today, but I love receiving letters full of news of people's lives, what's going on with their families. Sometimes it is sad news. Sometimes we hear of difficulties and tragedies, but it's a wonderful and a very personal way of connecting with somebody who may live miles away. Emails and texts are quick and a great way of keeping in contact, but I personally love receiving a letter, knowing that somebody has taken the time to put a pen to paper, to put the stamp on it and to go and find a postbox, and to connect my home and theirs, which may be very far away. This letter, written by a man in chains with very little else to do, may have had the urgency of death hanging over Paul, but would have had the thoughts and longings of a man who had very little else to distract him. An old man who had experience of what it was he was sharing. An old man that wasn't pinging a quick email and tapping on the send button, but had thought very carefully about what he was writing. Deeply personal and deeply powerful. And there's two people involved here, the sender and the receiver. The letter we have here is being penned by Paul, and the receiver is Timothy. I guess we can read it sitting on one side or the other. Paul in his prison cell, writing to the one whom he loves, and Timothy, the one who is receiving it. Timothy in Ephesus, who is helping the church there, the last time he would have seen Paul, and being encouraged and instructed by Paul, perhaps receiving, needing the words of the one who calls him son. Are there times where you can relate to sitting on one side or the other of this letter, encouraging other people or needing encouragement from someone? Paul is encouraging Timothy by reminding him the Spirit of God is dwelling in him. It gives him the power, love, and self-discipline. Timidity is not a gift given from God. That has come from somewhere else entirely. God does not make us timid or fearful or ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, Paul tells Timothy. Shame hangs a dark cloud as a heavy blanket thrown over us. It keeps us down and stops us from shining the light of Christ. It holds us back. When in Genesis, Adam and Eve felt ashamed, they hid themselves from God. They became more aware of their vulnerability in their awareness of being naked. They felt stripped, bare, vulnerable, unworthy to even be in God's presence, let alone be able to talk to others and share the gospel with others, the good news. And do not be ashamed of me, Paul, as a prisoner. That's not the highest place of standing for Paul to be in. He was being persecuted because of his faith, because of sharing it. And here he is encouraging Timothy to go out and do the same and not be timid and ashamed. Having an encourager who's inside a prison cell, whether innocent or not, would possibly not be the highest place to start a conversation. But Paul holds firmly enough to that the gospel is worth sharing, that he has not only not given up encouraging others, despite his pretty desperate situation. In fact, because of his desperate situation, as he may know he had little time to get this message out and that Timothy is worth investing in. Paul asks Timothy to guard the gospel, not in his own strength, but with the help of the Holy Spirit. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. The gospel that Timothy has been guarding is now to be entrusted to Timothy. What is it? We may know the gospels, the books of the Bible. Is it just these books? It's the news from these books. The gospel simply means good news. The good news of Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, that we may no longer fear it, but that we have life and immortality. And we see through this gospel, through the good news for the broken, for the outcast, for those that don't fit in, good news for all, that we can know why we were made and who it was that made us. Because of God's grace, it is bigger than anything we have done that we shouldn't have done, and big enough to bring us joy through drawing us back to him. Watching people come to faith, coming to the knowledge of the gospel in relation to their own lives, is one of the most exciting experiences, to see eyes opened to the gospel truth. It's not an academic exercise, but a transformation of the word Jesus, to the understanding of the name Jesus, the person Jesus. Reactions to this can be very different, but the revelation often evokes a response to share. Like an excited puppy who wants to run around and greet everyone, as if everyone needs to hear this news, the revelation that they have just encountered has to be shared. This was my experience, and I couldn't help keep the news to myself. And that was a long time before this. I remember running out into the high street and seeing the bus and seeing people and thinking, I've got to tell everybody now, all the people on the bus, everywhere. I didn't, but that's how I felt. Can we keep it to ourselves? How could Timothy guard the gospel, the good deposit entrusted in him, without sharing it? This new understanding, this life-changing reality is the gospel. When we receive the good news that Jesus died for us as individuals, as a personal gift for each one of us, that we are forgiven people because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and to know that we are able to come before him, the God of the universe, to have a personal relationship with him, how can we keep it to ourselves? But if we stop when the excitement fades, when life reminds us that we have jobs to do, children to look after, grandchildren to look after, lives to live, shopping to do, what do we do? Do we leave it to the public speakers, those that are eloquent, those in power? Whose job is it? The evangelist J. John, when asked what the biggest barrier is to people sharing the gospel with others, said, I think people have a fear about what others might say, or a fear of articulating the message correctly. But, he says, the perfect love of Christ casts out all fear. If the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, that means we've got the power, all of us. We have the power. Paul says in his letter to Timothy, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Is that to put it in a safe? Send it off to a vault. Lock it up somewhere. After all, maybe it may fade or get lost or stolen. Not at all. The gospel is good news for everyone. It doesn't wear out if you share it with too many. It doesn't become less effective through overuse. It doesn't fade if left out in the open. And I always think that it's really wise to remember when we talk about the responsibility of sharing the gospel with others, that it's God who saves. God does the saving. We share, and God does the saving. The God of the universe, who was here before the beginning of time, who revealed the gift of grace through his Son, he is the one who saves. He has entrusted, he trusts us with it. He trusts us with this good news, but he is the saviour of the world. Do we also need to fan into flame the gift that God has given us? We heard last week of Timothy being told to fan into flame the gift that God had given him. Do we need to remind ourselves what the gospel means to us and know that we too, whether a Timothy or a Paul, can share the gospel, the good news? And as I said earlier, Paul makes no bones about the fact that it's not going to be an easy task. And it can be easy for us to question our part in the suffering that's talked about here. If we are to compare our lives with parts of history, and indeed parts of other parts of the world today, what does the suffering look like for us? But people do suffer. People are ostracized for their faith in workplaces, friendship groups, schools. We may not be facing death as Paul is, as Paul was when he was writing this letter encouraging Timothy, that the reality is that Timothy too would suffer. But whatever was to be Timothy's suffering, and whatever difficulties we may face, or those we know face, and that we can support them across the world to remember that there is no cause for shame. We are not to be ashamed. We are to stand firm in what we believe. Stand firm in Christ. Stand firm in the truth of the gospel and know that God has our backs. Paul says, I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul will be no longer able to walk with him, no longer to walk with the one whom he loves and cares for and has nurtured. But he entrusts him and others to God and is sure and certain of the hope of the life to come when that day comes. Who are we? Do you find yourself in Paul's shoes, encouraging and nurturing others not to be ashamed, not to be timid, not to fear, but to follow the example in proclaiming the gospel? Or are we Timothy, feeling timid? Timothy, who fears rejection, feels unable and unworthy of such a huge task. What tempts us to be afraid? Perhaps we should feel weak in order to reveal God's saving grace, in order to glorify God and reveal his grace, not in our own strength, but relying wholly on the God that can do immeasurably more than we can ever imagine. We are joining in with God's work. God is already at work, and we are joining in. As we leave here this evening to live as witnesses to Christ, do not be ashamed or afraid of the gospel or of sharing it. For Christ has come, died on the cross, that we might live now and forever, And this is a gift, this good news that is worth sharing, that multiplies when we share it, is worth witnessing to, with the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in each one of us. Amen.